Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Do you still feel it?
I know I do.
Hey, welcome to the next step. This is Father Vazquez welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, but doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and is brought to you by the cool folks over at epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Yes, yes, yes. Run if you have to, walk if you can. Or maybe vice versa. It is such a beautiful day today. I'm in Southern California right now, and just looking out the window, I'm feeling bad that I'm inside right now. You can't believe how beautiful it is. In fact, today's one of those days that you're just thankful you're in Southern California. Now, you can't say that all the time, you know? It really doesn't work out like that. But today is one of these absolutely gorgeous spring days. It reminds you that we're in the Easter season, which is the perfect reminder for me to say, Christos Hareavi Merelots. Christ has risen from the grave. Is there anything greater than that? And here we are in the Easter season. A few days after Easter, we're taking the next step after Easter. So it's the first step. The first step of the next step after Easter. And we are here to remind everyone that Christ is risen. Actually, that's the reminder we have every day. Did you know that that is the first gospel? Very few people think of it in those terms, but when you talk about the word gospel, gospel means good news. The first ultimate good news was Christ is risen. When the apostles left the grave, or the women bearing the oil, they took the gospel message out, saying that Christ has risen. And yes, I can call them the apostles. Mary Magdalene, many times referred to as the apostle to the apostles. She was one who was sent. Go and tell my brothers, Christ says, that I will meet them. Or the angel tells them, go and tell Peter and the disciples that they can meet Jesus. So Mary Magdalene, the women at the grave, became the first apostles, the first ones commanded to go, therefore, go out there and spread the good news. And what was the good news? Christ has risen. That's it. We complicate it too much. Speaking about complications, did you see our video cast, the English Divine Liturgy? I mean, I got so many compliments from people telling me, we didn't know it was that easy. Well, it is. We're going to be talking about Easter today. We're going to do a recap of the whole season. We're going to be talking about women's roles, how women play into everything. We're going to have Ani with her bubbles, a great, great podcast in store for you. But as we start every week, we will start again today with a song of the day, something to put us in the mood, something so I could stick my head outside that window and enjoy some of that sun and get my vitamin D for the day. We've got a lot in store for you. How about a little Zulal? The clearness of Zulal. to kick it off for us. Something to get us in the mood for this beautiful spring day. That was Bingoli. That was from Zulal. I believe that's from their first album. That was a live version you happened to hear. But Zulal is available anywhere good music is sold. And like I always say, if they don't have it, then they're not selling good music, right? Zulal, Clearness. And I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. And I'm enjoying this day. It is right after Easter. We had such an Easter, one that was full of people. We had a lot of people. And we're right in the middle of Glendale. You expect it, but this was just unprecedented. We just had people and more people and more people. And I think it's signaling something that's going on in life. I mean, you look all around you and things that you took for granted that were supposed to stand, they're all crumbling, including the economy. Globally, people are suffering because of the effects of the economy. And you see that the institutions that you put faith in, you know, yeah, Jesus tells you, don't put faith in those things. But we are people and we put faith. Where? Not in churches, not in the, well, the things that matter. We do put them in money. We put them in portfolios, in all kinds of stuff. Anyway, and what happens is when those things crumble, you start looking for something that is bigger than that. And even, I mean, we had some seismic activity just on Easter Sunday, right at the Mexican border. And we felt it up in Los Angeles. And of course, it reminds us of what happened in Haiti, reminds us what happened in Chile. And you realize that at any time, you know, life is very fragile and life can come to an end. And you realize that the connection isn't about making the bigger barns here in this world, about consuming all that we can, but it's really setting ourselves up for a life that is eternal, the one that has been promised to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know that in Armadoxy, in what we're trying to teach through our program, it's not really a focus about doing this life for the life to come. But we do understand that life is more than all the bits and pieces that we have. Life is more than the collective knowledge that we have here in this world. And there is so much more to it. There is a vastness to the universe. And we're just on this small little speck called Earth, trying to make sense out of it all. And then you come up to a feast like Easter, which defies all logic, and it's packed with people. Well, I think people are looking for something bigger than themselves, and certainly Easter is that celebration. It's reminding you that, hey, life is there, but life is fragile, and when it's over, there's got to be something more to life than what you experience, what your senses experience on this planet, on this earth. And in many ways, I think the Easter message came out very clearly this year to all of us. I mean, throughout the entire Holy Week, as I shared with you in the Armenian Christian faith, in the Armenian Orthodoxy, you not only commemorate the Holy Week, you actually walk with Christ, whether it's in Palm Sunday, walking through a procession, or at the washing of the feet service. You're reminded not only of Jesus's act of humility, but you participate in that. And at the Last Supper, to participate in that Last Supper. We even got an English service in there on Easter morning. Well, let me back up. Let me tell you how Easter went for us in Glendale, because in many ways, it is an answer, really, to the uncertainty that people are experiencing in their lives. And they're looking for something very concrete. And as bizarre as it is, somebody coming back from the grave, it is the consolation. It is the necessary comfort that people are seeking. And I was just thrilled to be a part of that. You know, we are a stone's throw from one of the greatest, or excuse, I shouldn't even use that word, one of the biggest cemeteries in the Los Angeles area. It's called Forest Lawn. And every Armenian who lives in the area knows about this place, because it is the place where Armenians congregate, believe it or not, Sundays, where they go and they actually picnic on their graves, because it has become so real in their lives that that's the end spot. And why not? You know, you think about it, everybody who has gone into Forest Lawn or into any cemetery has never come back out. They've never come out, right? So the grave is the final resting spot. But that's what's so bizarre about Easter. Jesus says no. He says, that's not it. That's not where you end up. That's not what this life is all about. And to show you, well, let's say, to prove it to you, I'll conquer death. I'll take death on, head on. And we see this incredible passion where Jesus, the Son of God, the same one who made rivers flow out of Eden, St. Narcissus reminds us, the same one goes on the cross, and the creator of those rivers says, I thirst. He's thirsty. He takes on our humanity. He goes up to the cross and he gives himself up in this brutal, violent death. And on the third day, he rises. He says, even that violent death will not stop me, because I am forever. And you can have that forever, that word forever. And I'll tell you, it is very real. As bizarre as it sounds, that you've never seen anybody come out of the grave, it is so real that people have changed their lives. In fact, this Sunday, my sermon was about the laws of thermodynamics, one of which says that to every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And we accept that, but when it comes to matters of faith, we put it on the shelf. We don't apply it. I mean, science tells us that, you know, gravity is this this pull and this reaction and this action. It's not just pulling you down to Earth, but the Earth is catching up with you as well, so that there is action and reaction. But when it comes to Christ resurrecting from the grave, it is so powerful of an action that it demands a reaction. And when we don't give it, we get dysfunctional. We get dysfunctional. And look at the disciples turned apostles. Each of those apostles went to different lands. Each of them was martyred for the faith. Now, you don't get martyred for something you don't believe in. Each of them was convinced that Jesus had risen from the grave. Convinced so much that they were the reaction to Christ's action. Christ took an action, he gave himself up, and in that sacrifice, he demonstrated that don't be scared, the cross is not the end. He conquered the cross and said, you too, you can conquer the cross. And those disciples, going to each one to their lands, they were martyred, they were crucified. Some of them were violently crucified. I guess it's a redundancy in terms, isn't it? And I think it was just St. John who died in a prison. But again, he was imprisoned for his faith. The others were all violently killed for their faith. Now, you don't die for something you don't believe in. I mean, at the very end, you call it off, don't you? You say, okay, well, you know, yeah, it was okay. Maybe it wasn't a resurrection. Maybe it wasn't Jesus. Maybe somebody was impersonating him. Maybe it was somebody in the tomb that looked like him. Maybe somebody else went up on the cross. But no, not one of them. Not one of them would give in. And in fact, even greater than that is the witness of the martyrs throughout the centuries. As St. Thomas was told by our Lord Jesus, was told that blessed is you, Thomas, he said, are believing today because you saw, because you felt. But blessed is he who without seeing believes. That blind faith, that believing in the resurrection, even if you don't have that material, that tangible experience of touching the resurrected Lord, you believe in it. That's the one that's important. And if you think about it, that includes all of us, right? For the last 2,000 years, it includes every one of us who has that anti-Thomas faith, let's call it. The un-Thomas, the non-Thomas, anti-Thomas. That sounds fun, huh? We have that anti-Thomas faith. In other words, we believe without seeing, but we believe because it is real in our lives. Somehow that resurrection has touched us. And we know that life isn't just an accumulation of wealth. We know that life isn't all about the tangible existence that we share and enjoy in this world. But there is something more. And that life eternal is very real in our lives. So much so that we're willing to go out. To go out and become the reaction to the empty grave. Christ's action has reverberations even up until today. And it will continue to have it. Much like an earthquake, there's the epicenter and it keeps going. It keeps going. It ripples out. Or like the pebble thrown in the pond, right? You throw it in the pond and the ripples keep going. Well, we are those ripples right now. We've got the new news. And it is as fresh as the day that the women found the empty tomb. Christ has risen. There is no greater news than that. It is the news of the Christian community that death has been conquered. And when you think about terms of the good news, the gospel, it becomes the first gospel message. There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There was no Bible. What was the first message when these apostles went to the different lands? When Peter went to Rome? When Andrew went to Scotland? To India? Philip and Thaddeus came to Armenia? What was the message that they took? It wasn't about all the rules and regulations. It wasn't Jewish history. It was a very clear, basic message. That message was Christ has risen. And it is shared in the present tense. It's not Christ rose. It's Christ has risen. Christ has risen. Right now, because every generation that confronts this good news has an opportunity to become the reaction to this action. You, me, we are as fresh as the apostles that found the empty tomb. We have that opportunity to experience love's manifestation as the risen Lord. We have that opportunity to not blindly, but in faith, adopt that message as a mantra for our lives. A mantra that tells us, despite all of the crucifixions, all of the burials you will have in life, there is hope, there is light, and that light is shining out from the tomb. The Easter message is one that we as Christians unfortunately hide. We forget about. And Easter comes along once a year to remind us, to kick us in the pants in a sense, to remind us that, hey, this is what it's all about. This is how it began. You know, we go through these big shopping sprees at Christmas. We talk about the little baby in the manger. We talk about mysterious lights in the sky flashing. About shepherds on the hill, wise men coming with gifts. And how many gifts did they bring? It's not about that. In fact, nobody even cared about Jesus' birth when the first gospel was announced. Those stories came about way later. The first message of the Christian church is very clear. That today, life is much more than the tangible existence you have. Today, we've proven that life does not end at the tomb. That despite all the difficulties, and that tomb is the greatest difficulty, because when you think about it, as human beings, the biggest fear that we have is the end of the existence, end of our lives. And Jesus saying that's not where it ends. There's so much more. There's so much more. And it's not about looking in empty graves either, because in that emptiness, what do we find? We find light shining. That light is the expression of God's love. So you become an ambassador, a messenger, one who takes that light and starts shining it everywhere, sharing it everywhere, sharing it with others, and becoming the apostle of Christ. Apostle means one who is sent. The first apostles, the women who were at the tomb. Yes, women. I know. You could start sending me the letters. Oh, you shouldn't be talking about women. They're evil. They're not good people. I'll tell you something funny that happened. Just put a bookmark on it. I'm going to digress for a minute. Would you believe that on Holy Thursday, I washed feet? This is a tradition in our church. The priest or the highest ranking clergyman in that sanctuary comes on his knees and washes the feet of the people. And people started coming up and little girls came up and I started washing their feet. Would you believe people actually argued about it? They made a commotion. What kind of priest is this? He's washing the feet of the little girls. And they complained. They went to the diocese and complained about it. Now, if you look at the rubrics in the Avak Shabbat, that is the Holy Week, the book that gives the instructions on how to proceed with Holy Week. It begins on Lazarus Saturday and continues all the way through to Easter. Every little detail is marked in this book called Avak Shabbat. The prayers, the Bible readings. It is almost 1,000 pages. It's a small little book worth taking a look at. And there's even copies available. We have like tons of copies available too. If you're interested, drop us a line. It's of course written in classical Armenian. But what's really interesting about this book, and just before I wash the feet of the people, it says in there, the highest ranking clergy in that church will come to his knees and wash the feet of the people, from the oldest to the youngest. Doesn't say anything about men only, boys only. Doesn't say anything about 12. I know that's been a tradition too. Priests come down and they bring 12 guys that are, you know, they're just like nicely dressed. Sometimes they're wearing robes up at the altar. Hey, folks, you know what kind of feet Jesus washed? They were dirty. These feet had been walking, not on paved roads, not on nicely asphalted roads. These were muddy, stinky, lousy feet. They'd been in sandals all day. Think about those sandal marks. And Jesus wanting to demonstrate humility. Not just talk about it. Demonstrate humility. He, as Lord, as Savior, gets on his knees and washes these feet. And he says, go and do likewise. He says, you call me Lord. You call me teacher. And you rightly do so. And if I, as Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you are now bound to go out and wash each other's feet. In other words, telling us not about washing feet, it's about serving one another, helping one another, reaching out to one another. And I guess these people who made the commotion had just lost it. They lost what the meaning and the purpose of these rituals, these liturgies, are all about. In fact, that's why we call this Armodoxy. That's why we're not calling this Armenian Orthodoxy, Armenian Church. We're trying to brand it as basically the essence. What is Christ all about? What is it that kept Armenian people together for the last 2,000 years? And we use the Armenian people, obviously, yes, ethnically I am one, but as a sample group of people who have experienced resurrection, despite the odds. Despite the odds, right? Here's a group of people that should be in the grave. Every enemy, everybody's been against them, everybody's gone against them. And what happens at the end of it? They flower. They're up. They've resurrected. No cross in the world has been able to crucify them. And maybe what we're challenging people to do and experience and look for is maybe the answer hasn't been strategy, because they haven't had any military strategy. It's not because of guns, because they haven't had any guns. So maybe the real answers for peace in the world can be found in this faith. This faith of belief, this faith in trust, this faith in love. And so these people were there at Holy Thursday arguing that, you know, we shouldn't be washing the feet of these girls. Now, there's another side to it too. You ever wonder why Jesus didn't wash the feet of the women at that scene? This is in John chapter 13. He comes down on his knees and he washes the feet of the apostles, of the disciples. You ever wonder why he didn't do the women? Because the women weren't there. That's how simple it is. You ever wonder why he did 12 feet? Because that's all that was there. You know, people get all confused. You know, it's like one day I remember Archbishop Diran Nersoyan, once we were talking about something, and he says, you know, people get really hung up about mysticism sometimes too much, you know, they put too much emphasis on it. He says, do you know why there's four walls to a church? And right away my head went to, okay, mystically, the four corners of the world? Maybe it's the four evangelists? I said, I don't know, Sarpazan. I don't know, Archbishop. I don't know why there's four walls. He says, to keep the roof up. Yeah. To keep the roof up. That's why there's four walls. Why did Jesus wash 12 feet? Well, that's who was in the room that day. They were all men. Do you suppose if there was 14, he would have sat back and said, okay, 12's enough? Do you think that if there was 5, he would have gone and recruited 7 more? No. And the idea in the Armenian Orthodox tradition is for the example of humility
to be broadcast yet another time through this service. So the priest, the head of the church, the community, in Etchmiadzin, it is the Catholicos. In the local sanctuaries, it is the parish priest. He comes down on his knees and he washes the feet of the people. And so we did it, despite the complaints. And they took it to the diocese. And luckily, I heard that they complained to somebody at the diocese who had brought his daughter to our church to have her feet washed. So she was part of it. So I guess this complainer didn't hear too much. But let's back up a little bit. I want to finish up on what we were saying about what was going on. And at that first Easter, when the women came to the grave of Christ, they had to react to that empty tomb. And today we have an opportunity to react to the empty tomb and to make it very real in our lives, to go out and proclaim the good news. Christ has risen. And we do that through our different rituals, our liturgies, and most importantly, through our lives, through our actions. Was it Mother Teresa who said that beautiful statement, always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words? I mean, that is so beautiful. It's all about living this gospel, about making Christ real in your life every single day. And so Easter, in many senses, was just this overwhelming experience for us, beginning with Lazarus Saturday, culminating with the Easter celebration. And in between there, personally, one of my beautiful moments came Easter Eve. The Archbishop of our diocese came. He ordained a few acolytes, gave stoles to some of the others. My Christopher was part of them. So as a father, you get excited about that too, because you see that the continuity, resurrection, is about, you know, keeping the church alive as well, keeping the church moving forward and resurrected. Yes, I need to emphasize that. Resurrected. Yes, it's happening right now, keeping it resurrected. That's a nice thought. We'll have to come back to that. I'm sure we will somewhere along the way. But Easter morning, some of you have been asking, we did do an English liturgy. It was the Divine Liturgy in English. And I know people get excited about the language and everything, and certainly there's a lot of reason to get excited about it. It's basically taking that Armenian Orthodox model, that model for peace, for resurrection, and applying it to a language that is more accessible. But to me, the excitement was that it signaled also a new beginning. You know, people ask me, well, you know, what's going to happen? Can it happen? You just do it, you know? Haven't we learned that a long time ago? You know, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have said that. Let's just leave it there. But it is available on the net. It's at epostle.net. You could see an archive of it. And unfortunately, the sound isn't too good. We're going to be working on that hopefully in the next couple weeks and beefing up the sound to that file. But you can get an idea of what we did. We did it in the traditional, in the early Orthodox churches, the priest facing the people, where the body and blood was distributed. And as I said earlier, it's a very simple message. Christ is risen. So is the liturgy. When it comes down, when you strip away all the bells and whistles, the component is very easy. Christ sacrificing himself. And so too, we did that through this little service. And I invite you to take a look at it. It's up on the web. And I think we had maybe close to about 70 people that morning for this first Easter Mass done in English, and the general consensus was, let's do this regularly, and I think we are going to do it. It's just a matter of putting our resources together and pulling it off. And when I say resources, I think you know what I mean. I mean, we do need to pull this together. We need to pull Armadoxy together, and just appreciate all the comments that I get. Well, you know what? Let me tell you about it right after Ani's Bubbles, because she is here. We're going to come back. There's some other stuff that we want to comment on. Did you see the new iPad? I got a chance to use it. Oh, yes. Talk about resources. Wouldn't it be great to have all kinds? Okay. Ani, you're ready. Take it away.
The Burning Hut, today's spiritual bubble. The only survivor of a shipwreck washed upon a small, uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store his few possessions. But then, one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames, the smoke rolling up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything was lost. He was stung with grief and anger. "God, how could you do this to me?" he cried. Early the next day, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. "How did you know I was here?" asked the weary man of his rescuers. "Well, we saw your smoke signal," they replied. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Ani, I think we're going to have to call you the Hitchcock of Armadoxy. I don't know where you get these stories. I love the twists that you put in. You know, Alfred Hitchcock with his famous twist at the end. I love it. And certainly goes in with our theme, doesn't it, of Easter. That things do work out. Just have a little faith. Sometimes the way we look at life isn't the way God looks at it. And if you have a little faith, you know, things do work out. Anyway, thank you for that beautiful message. And I do want to follow up on something I said earlier about the resources that we need to keep this going. You know that this Easter season, I am very proud, very happy, and I want to take this opportunity to thank Susie, our producer, for making it happen. We put together a 49-episode podcast. It is up on the web. And we're looking into really marketing that in a different way, making that something that people can take as a 49 days to Easter, but whenever you want it, not necessarily during Lent. So we're looking for ideas, we're looking for marketing staff, we're looking for people, and we're looking for capital to really do that. And we got listeners from all over the world. We counted on 5 different continents. We got responses and a lot of positive responses. People who were tuning into it. In fact, on Easter Sunday, it was really great. And if you're listening to this, please drop me a line, because you could tell it was just really packed on Easter Sunday. And I was, my head was 10,000 different places. But a young man came up to me and said that he was a podcast listener from Scottsdale, Arizona, and he was there. And I got another one just during Easter week. I can't remember what service it was. Somebody else had come in from the Midwest. I want to say Chicago, but not really certain. And they were podcast listeners. So it's kind of exciting. You know, because of this podcast, we now have a virtual community. We have people that are just all over the place, the virtual community, the virtual church, basically. And in fact, today's podcast is being sponsored by members of that virtual community. We want to thank Professor Nicholas and Janine Economides from New York, who are taking responsibility for a few of these podcasts, basically a reaction to the action. And we want to encourage others. If you're interested in sponsoring these podcasts, drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. And again, our thanks to Professor Nicholas and Janine Economides. Got a few different things in the mail this week that I wanted to share with you. One of them was called Light of the East. It's a newsletter of the Society of St. John Chrysostom, Western Region Edition. And the cover story on this little pamphlet-like newsletter says, "One date for Pascha, one proclamation for Christianity," and Archimandrite Babcock has written this, and I thought it was interesting that, you know, they're still trying to get one date. If you know something a little bit about the tradition of the date of Easter. It goes back, I believe the early date for Easter was April 6th, which was a fixed date. And then along the way, they brought it to a Sunday celebration. And that Sunday was calculated as the first Sunday after the equinox, which would be roughly March 20th, you know, when the days are exactly the same length, the night and day is the same length at the equator. Basically 12-hour days, right? Now, in that equation, there was more to it than just that. There's the idea of having it after the Passover, because Jesus celebrated the Passover. There was the Seder. There was that Last Supper, the Passover meal. And then after that, he was crucified and then resurrected. And there's also the issue of the full moon because of the lunar calendar. So the complicated formula became a factor of after the equinox, after the Sunday, after the first full moon of after Passover. So you basically have a window of opportunity for Easter beginning from mid-March to late April. I believe April 23rd or 24th is the last date Easter can be celebrated in this little window. Now, what the argument is that why have so many dates? You know, the Eastern Christians, Eastern Orthodoxy celebrates it at a different date. This year, by the way, they were coordinated, and then next year it will be 1 week apart, the following year 3 weeks apart, the following week 5 weeks apart. There's a whole formula for this, okay? I don't want to get into it. What I do want to do is I want to ask you, how important is that? How important is it that all Christians celebrate Easter on the same day? Armenians went with the West, by the way. Even though we are Eastern Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox went the way of the West. I believe it was 1923 when the Catholicos of that time said that we're going to celebrate Easter with the Western world. Now, how important is it that we have one united day, one special day that is called Easter? When you think about it, when, you know, they're at each other's throat the rest of the year, I personally don't think that this is an issue. I personally think that this is one of those non-issues that we get consumed with, especially when there's so many real issues. And I'm talking about war. I'm talking about prejudice. I'm talking about injustice. Real issues that demand the attention of Christ, Christ's church. We get consumed with these kind of, these peripheral issues. When should we celebrate? What should we do? And that's why I like this formula that we've come up with here at Armadoxy. The idea that, you know, Christmas is every single day. Isn't today Christmas when Christ is born in our lives, when we share his love with one another? And so, too, Easter needs to be a celebration every day where we acknowledge the power of the empty tomb over the power of the crucified Jesus. And, you know, here's one. I'm asking you. I would love to hear from you. What's your opinion about this? Is it important that all Christians, East and West, everybody celebrate Easter on the same day? It's just like the issue over the English liturgy. I mean, we celebrated it on Easter morning in English. People were consumed with the wrong issue. We're celebrating a liturgy in English. So what? I mean, did we lose contact with the intent of that liturgy? With the idea of sacrifice? With the idea of Christ giving his body and blood for us? I mean, think about it for a moment. We get consumed with the wrong things. I read St. Nerses, the Armenian seminary over in New York. I read their newsletter, and it was talking about a group of people going and learning the language. Again, coming down to language. What about learning compassion? What about going out there and learning the skills to spread God's love? But again, we get consumed with the peripheral issues. What day should we celebrate? What language should we be talking? And granted, these are important questions. But I don't know if these are the overwhelming questions that Christianity should be addressing. Did you check out Newsweek this week? What would Mary do? Right on the cover. How women can save the Catholic Church from its sin. Story written by Lisa Miller. Interesting. Interesting because there is a dialogue going on. You know, I mean, there is a need to express our faith in everyday life. In other words, is God something that's just going to be wound up on Sundays, or is God something that needs to be addressing these situations that are taking place in the world? I mean, obviously, the Roman Catholic Church can't avoid it right now. The pedophilia, the scandals that are plaguing it. And this is just the Roman Catholic Church. But you know what? Every community has their own scandals, has their own skeletons that it needs to deal with. And unfortunately, they get they get hidden. They get thrown into the closet. That's why I'm very, very elated. And I think this is an American phenomena, the idea of being able to talk about it so openly, the phenomena of free speech, even when it applies to religion. And I know, having come from a Middle Eastern culture, where even the Armenian Middle Eastern idea that we do hide, you take the dirt and put it under the carpet, that needs to be exposed, because by exposing what happens through that exposition, we have an opportunity to discuss. And what's the eventual goal of that discussion, of that dialogue? Is to better the organization. And I think that the Armenian church, or most of the Eastern churches, we could say, should be looking at Rome, should be looking at what's going on in the West, should be looking at these scandals. And yes, Rome is covering up a lot of stuff too. I mean, nobody's clean, but what I'm saying is this dialogue is an important one, because it's putting its finger on the wound and saying that the church has to be there, has to be clean, so that it can express itself on the bigger issues of justice, of violence, of hatred, of war, of famine, of genocide. Now, this month, we approach genocide. I think this Sunday, the Jewish community is marking National Holocaust Day here in America, a World Holocaust Remembrance. Convenient that they remember in April, because the granddaddy of all Holocausts, the first genocide of the 20th century, the Armenian Genocide, is commemorated on April 24th. And on that day, we're going to do something a little bit different. It's the 95th anniversary of that commemoration, of that evil manifestation, of the manifestation of evil among the Armenian people perpetrated by the Ottoman Turks. And this year, we're going to do something like we've been doing for the last several years. We're going to be collecting money and awareness for children of genocide. Because as the Armenians were the victims of the first genocide of the 20th century, unfortunately, that same genocide, that same evil continues today in a place called Darfur. And there are refugees on the scale of hundreds of thousands. People have been killed for the last several years. And unfortunately, the world continues to turn its face, continues to ignore what's going on in Darfur. Even the President of the United States, who during his campaign campaigned on this, let's open up, let's have transparency, what we were talking about a few minutes ago. That's the word I was looking for. Transparency. Even that President Obama now has forgotten about his promises towards Darfur, towards bringing lasting peace. And you and I know that these guys are all politicians. And we know that that lasting peace comes from somewhere greater than what you and I could ever imagine. It comes from the love of God. So we're trying to bring that love of God in the acts of violence. Now, look, 95 years ago, the Ottoman Turks perpetrated this incredible genocide against the Armenian people. The evil of evil, evil manifested. Now, we could sit here and combat evil with evil, but our Lord teaches us combat evil with good. Combat it with love. So on April 24th, we're going to be fasting. We're going to be collecting money for children of genocide. And every penny that we raise, and in the past, we've done this for 10 years, we've collected a little bit over $500,000, where every penny that we collect is going out to the refugees of genocide. Now, this is a small little act, but I'm counting on you to participate in this act. It's the 30-hour famine that we do through In His Shoes Ministries. You can go to our website, inhisshoes.org. You can contribute. You could drop us an email, feedback@epostle.net. Tell us how you'd like to contribute. You could drop us a check in the mail. And in the memo, just put down famine. Put down 30-hour famine. And you could drop it to Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. That's 632 West Stocker Street in Glendale, California, 91202. And in weeks coming up, you'll be hearing more about it. We'll be blogging about it. We'll be writing about it. But this is a one solid way that we can answer the cross of Christ, the evil of the cross, with the empty tomb, with the glory of love manifesting itself at that empty tomb. We now become the agents. We now become the apostles of this good news, this new message. And I invite you to participate. I invite you to get involved. Well, we are at the end of another podcast. I want to just tell you how fast time goes when we're having fun. I hope it's been a good one for you as well. I hope you enjoyed being with us today. It's always a pleasure serving you and sharing these thoughts with you. I'm on my way to Argentina. Yes, I'm going to be in Buenos Aires speaking out there and hopefully talking and making some converts for the In His Shoes movement. So I need your prayers. And if all goes well, we're going to try to originate our podcast, next week's podcast, from beautiful Buenos Aires, Argentina, South America, very close to Antarctica, I understand. And I only say that because, you know, I've been trying to get this podcast on every continent, and that's the one continent we haven't reached yet. So if we can, we'll have a CD and we'll just frisbee it across the lake. Of course, it's much more than that. I know that. Don't drop me a line. I know much more about geography than I'm letting you believe I do. But I don't know about too many things, but that I do know. And now that we're laughing, yes, Susie's been after me. Okay, the big joke. Yes, I will admit it. Ken, I am so proud of you. We are going past Lent, past Easter, and there is no smoke over here. And the reason we were laughing about it last week is because I don't have a car for the last month and a half. Yes, talk about the economy being bad. I've been carless since the beginning of March. So we went through this whole Lenten season without car. And just recently, a neighbor of our church saw that. And for the last couple of weeks, he gave me this big old Mercedes 400 SEL. Oh, it is like something to dream about in Glendale. I mean, you know, when you walk around, when you drive around Glendale in this thing, I mean, people just look and there is like this added respect for you. But the guy, I guess he's a smoker or somebody smoked in there. And you know how we complain about, this is why Susie's been riding me, because she says, you complain about Ken's smoke in the studio, but not in the car. Well, the car has leather seats. I gotta tell you, that smoke in the leather, it's almost like being on the ranch. It's almost like Ponderosa. You know, smoke, leather, cows, all coming together in the cab of a Mercedes. That's what we've been laughing about. But you know what? I'm just so blessed. I'm blessed to have just friends and people like you listening. People like, well, like this gentleman who is really a gentleman and really stepped up and said, hey, we want our priest to have the best. And I really appreciate that. It's really a lesson in humility. My life in this community. And I always thank God for this opportunity, especially around this Easter time. It's a wonderful way to say thank you for all the blessings that we have, which are manifestations of the risen Lord. Yes. Yes, why not? Thank you. So this is just reminding me. I'm going to make the announcement that, you know, check out our website for donations. You can donate also a car. Like all nonprofits, we have the ability to give you full market value as a tax deduction. And I believe next week, that's your opportunity for tax deduction, April 15th, right around the corner. Think about it. You donate a car, goes a long way. As well as your regular donations, we invite everything that you can give to this ministry to see it blossom. You could drop us a line at epostle.net, at feedback@epostle.net. You can go on our website and hit the donate button. We are at inhisshoes.org and at epostle.net, where I invite you to check out the websites, all the wonderful programs taking place, and especially epostle.net, where you'll find apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. For the wonderful crew who puts this together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.